Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Okay, I'm going to make a start. Hello, everyone. If we've not met before, my name's Helen, and I'm really pleased to be able to be part of this Knowing God More series. Have you been part of this series so far? We've been, in a few weeks, been looking at this whole theme of knowing God more. If you haven't heard the sermons recently, I do encourage you to listen on our podcast. We put them out regularly on our website, and I encourage you to stay connected. Even if you can't be here on a Sunday, we all know that everyone gets busy at some points and you have to do other things, and we understand that. We'd encourage you to be here, but we understand it that we can't always be here all together. And even when I'm not here because I'm speaking elsewhere, I will listen to our podcast because it's always good to hear what God is saying to us as a family. So I encourage you, if you've missed out, Joel Holm was here last week. That was fantastic. Steph was the week before. I encourage you to listen to the podcast and stay connected. I'd also encourage you, as mentioned earlier, about social media. Do you connect with our social media sites? There's various Instagram and Facebook, if you're old enough, and because apparently that's the mature ones. Twitter, we're all out there. So just get connected, because it's a good thing to do. So we're going to be looking at what it is to know God more. And we're in the book of Peter's letter. I'm not going to go into a huge amount of the history. We've covered that in previous weeks. So if you haven't a clue what's going on in Peter's world, feel free to listen to the podcast and you can get connected. But we're just going to jump into this letter that Peter wrote. And we're literally just going to look at two verses. How good is that? It's going to be clearly a short sermon, right? Two verses. And in I do have a timer on, all is well. And in particular, we're going to look at two words. So how short could this sermon be? Okay, two words, come on. How long can I make two words last? That's really the question. Okay, if you've got your Bibles, turn with them, or on your apps, turn to them. They will come up on the screen, but I encourage you to find it in your own version. We typically use the NLT, but you might prefer another. So I'm reading from 2 Peter 1. This is what Peter wrote from his prison cell. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. We're going to stop there, because that's enough for today. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Steph was talking about grace. Did you hear that? More and more grace, all access. So we're not even going to mention grace anymore now. We're just going to go on peace. So here, Peter says, may God give you more and more peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So we're going to look at peace today. Is that all right? Who would like a bit more peace? Some of us, yes. Now, I think we have a bit of a problem with peace. I think we have some challenges with peace. Now, I'm calling this talk Flipping Faith. I'm not just trying to be cheeky and get an F word in here. Oh, what's she doing to keep us on our toes? It's because faith flips things for us. And I want us to process and look at how faith might flip some of our situations. Where at the minute we're jumping between peace and problems, faith is going to flip us into a more and more existence with Jesus. So here we go. We're going to flip our faith. Now, if you've got a coin, have you got change in your pockets or a wallet or a purse nearby? Grab a coin. Go with a small coin. It's fine. Grab a coin. Don't look at me like that. Grab a coin. We've all got some somewhere. If you don't have one, nudge the person next to you and say, I need your money. You can give it back. You can go give them a 2p. It just needs to be a coin. I want you to see a coin. You might never have seen one before. I asked for this one first because I didn't have one in my pocket. I got a pound. I'm quids in today. Okay, now I'm not going to model this on the stage because I will drop it. It will roll away under the stage. Everyone's really excited that they found some money. I should have got you to get the pound out or coin out of the other person's wallet. That would have been more exciting, wouldn't it? Help yourselves to each other's money. Ooh. I missed it. Next time we'll do that. Okay, so I'm not going to model this, but I would like you to flip your coin. You know, so start on one side and flip it in the air and get it onto the other side. Okay, so good flipping. That was like... Okay, so some people flip really easily. And you can go from one side to the other and back again. Or you might re-land on the same one and keep re-landing. There's odds about that, but you keep re-landing, yes? I think this is what we do with our problems and our peace. We flip from peace to problem, peace to problem, peace to problem. Peace, 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 problem, 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 problem. Peace, problem, peace, problem. And we keep flipping. Sometimes it feels, though, not like a coin. It feels a bit more like this. That we have got these huge problems and we are trying our hardest to flip ourselves from our problem, our stress, to try and get back to the peace side, but then it just flips back somehow and we're back in problems. Do you know what I mean? Many of us have challenges in our personal life, in our health, in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. Gosh, you just turn on the news, we have got challenges in our nation. There are problems all around us. But when Peter is writing way back years ago, he was talking about the ability to have more and more peace. And he gave some clues as to how that would happen as we grow in the knowledge of Christ and Jesus. Now, I want us to look at a story that Peter would have known about because he was part of the story. You see, there's something that happens where we're in the latter days. I don't know if you've ever been friends with someone on prison row, on death row, and you've known what they're going through, but here Peter was on death row. But he was coming to the latter days and he was getting reflective and he was pouring out as much wisdom as he could muster. If you've ever known somebody who's elderly, you will know that sometimes the stories just flow. Tim and I have just been in America, thank you, Jesus, and had a great week and hung out with his grandma, who's 97 this week. The stories of her and Timmy were just pouring out. She's the only one on the planet who is allowed to call him that, and I'm going to get told off when I get home. But anyway, all these stories kept coming out. So Peter is drawing on all the wealth of his experience, of all of his time with Jesus, this first-hand experience. If you remember back to Tim's sermon, the first-hand experience. And he's pouring this into his wisdom. And one of the stories that I want to refer to is a story that appears in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, anyway. And it is a really well-known story, and you'll know it, but we're going to look at it anyway. It is when Jesus calmed the storm. You all know that story? If you've got your Bibles, jump to Matthew's version. His is the one that I'm going to use, but as I said, I could have used Mark and Luke. In Matthew chapter 8, there's just a few verses about this fantastic little story. And this is what happened. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. So Peter was one of his disciples, so he is in the boat. We don't know what he was doing. We don't know if he was getting a suntan or enjoying the surf or eating a sandwich, but he was in the boat, and then suddenly something changed. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. Now, this whole lake, wind really whips up in this area. And so it was very common for a storm, but this storm seemed to have caught them off guard. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." Now, I've heard, like you, this story many times before, and I've often heard it preached, and people would say, you know, you need to make sure Jesus is in your boat. You know, that's the basic summary of this story. But I think something different. I think it's not just about needing to know that Jesus is in your boat. I think it's needing to know where Jesus is in your boat. You see, these disciples were just doing what they were told to do, getting in a boat, crossing the lake. And then suddenly this storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep. Now, when you've heard this story before, haven't you heard it when Jesus wakes up and says to them, "Why have you not got much faith?" Haven't you heard it like a telling off? A rebuke? Like, "For goodness sake, what are you fussing about? It's only a bit of weather, and I'm here." And we hear this telling off, and if we're honest, we sit here in our beautiful 2019 hindsight advantage and go, "Yeah, for goodness sake, they had Jesus in the boat. Why are they even fussing? He was there. But you see, the more and more I get to know Jesus, the more and more I realize he didn't wake up and tell them off at all. I don't believe this is a cross word at all. Now, in some versions, he tells the weather to be quiet before he speaks to the disciples. This one, he speaks to the disciples before he turns to the weather. But let me talk a little bit about sleeping. Do you like sleeping? Now, if you were privileged enough to have two people living in your same home and in close proximity to observe their sleeping patterns, you will probably know that one person is more gifted than the other at sleeping. Just saying. Some people have this gift to be able to, you know, see the bed, see the pillow, put my head, I'm asleep. Like, that's the process, and they're really, really gifted. I don't have that gift. I'm wired in a very different way. So I think, really, I gave birth to my sleep problem about 21 plus years ago, and because I don't think I've slept really deeply since then. I mean, I'm fine, don't get worried about me, but I don't think I've slept really deeply. You see, what happens to me is I hear my children. Any noise. So if I go to bed before them, which is happening more and more, if I hear them creeping up the stairs, I can hear them. In the middle of the night, if they're coughing, I can hear them. If they come out of their bedroom to go to the toilet, I can hear them. Any single noise, if they're downstairs watching TV, I can definitely hear them. I can hear them with any noise at any time. And the problem that I have, and I'm trying to overcome this, pray for me, or pray for them, is as soon as they move, I'm like, are you all right? Which is fine when they're little. They're like, oh, mummy, I just need a drink of water. But now it's like, for goodness sake, I'm just going to the toilet. You know, now it's not cool that your mother is jumping into your bathroom experience just to check that you're all right in the middle of the night. But something happened this week which surprised me. We had a house guest. He stayed in one of my children's rooms. They weren't in the room, but the room was empty apart from him. So he was staying. And in the morning, he admitted to me that he needed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. That's fine. You're allowed. I do. That's fine. But what it meant was he came out of his room and suddenly onto the landing thought he didn't know which was the bathroom. Now, he did in the daytime. He'd seen it, but he'd forgotten. So there were three different options available that wouldn't have been that great. So he could have gone to the bathroom in my son's bedroom, in my daughter's bedroom, or in our bedroom, or he could have made it to the bathroom. He was a bit scared of this choice, and he thought, well, I really don't want to risk this, so I'm going to go downstairs. So he went downstairs. I assume he shut the bathroom door downstairs. It's polite, it's night, but who knows. But I assume he shut it. I assume he opened it. I assumed he'd also flushed and washed his hands. Then he managed to get upstairs, get into his room, shut the bedroom door, get back into bed, and I didn't hear a thing. Not a thing. My children sneeze or hiccup, I'm right there. Now, Jesus in the boat. He didn't hear the storm because he wasn't bothered by the storm. He knew it was going to be fine. He knew the Father was in control. He knew the Father loved him. He was secure in his purposes, in his place with the Father, in his mission. He knew what they were doing. He wasn't bothered by the storm. So all that noise was roaring on. As soon as the disciples, Jesus, he's immediately awake. Why? Because he was tuned into them. Because he cared about them, he loved them, he was listening out for them. Even when he was resting, he was there alert. He didn't wake them up, when he woke up, I don't believe he stood up and said, I can't believe you've woken me, oh ye of little faith. Because obviously he always spoke in yees in those days. Oh ye of little faith. I don't think he spoke like that. I thought he said, I am so sorry you're afraid. Why didn't you wake me sooner? Because I've been here all along. I think he had compassion on his disciples. I think he loved them. I don't think he ever tells his kids off for turning in and talking to him. The Father's heart is so strong for his children. He loves it when they talk to him. I do not believe Jesus said, I cannot believe you've woken me. I was enjoying my kip. I don't think that at all. I think he had compassion. I think his heart went out for them. I think he wanted them to grow in faith. Yes, of course, he wants us to grow in understanding him, but I think it came from a heart of love. You see, Jesus loved his disciples, and he didn't want them for 1 minute not knowing that he was there for them, because he's omnipresent, big word for always, everywhere. There is nowhere that we can be, there is nowhere that they could be, that he wasn't in that sense loving them. Now, one of the things that Jesus had also done, and we get this caught in John's gospel, is he told his disciples about some of the things that were going to come about in the future. And he was talking about his relationship with his Father and everything that was going to unfold. And then he turned to his disciples and said something quite interesting. And you can see this in John 16, verse 33. He said, "I've told you all these things so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Now, we are kidding ourselves if we think we're never going to have troubles. We are kidding ourselves if we think nothing is going to be difficult. We're not going to have any anxious day, any dark day, any gray day, any difficult month, any difficult season. We're never going to grieve. We're never going to have sadness. We are kidding ourselves. Why? Because Jesus has told us that as followers of Christ living on earth, we can expect troubles. Now, I know that's not cheery, but the amazing news is that Jesus said to his disciples then and still says now, in me you can discover peace. Now this is the invitation from the Lord to say, okay, do not let the world experiences define God. But as you grow in knowing God, allow God to define your world experiences. Did you hear that? Do not let your world experiences define God, but let God define your world experiences. And as you get to know God more, you can see your world experiences through the lens of his love, through the lens of who he is, through the lens of his cheering you on, being there for you, giving himself for you, saying, talk to me, come to me, I am peace. Isaiah described in a foretelling, in a prophetic way, what Jesus was going to be, who Jesus was going to be. And he described him as the Prince of Peace. Paul also wrote to the Galatians, and in his letter to the Galatians, he was describing the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, from the very presence of Christ in you, there is a fruit that can be expected that is a natural, automatic byproduct to the presence of Christ. It is not something we squeeze out and force out. It's something that is naturally demonstrated because of the presence of Christ. So with the presence of the Prince of Peace in our life, we manifest peace into our life. We demonstrate it, not because we're striving or clamoring for something, but because he is with us and in us. And this is the challenge. When we're flipping between problem and peace, we so often pursue peace, the fruit, peace, the product, peace, the outcome. But Jesus is saying at every turn, don't pursue the outcome and like the gift that I give from my hand. Pursue the presence of my person. Because when we pursue the presence of his person, then we get to know him more and more. Then we get this beautiful gift of more and more peace. Are you following me? The pursuit of the person of Christ will produce peace in our lives. The pursuit of peace as a product will just make us striving and tripping over problem after peace after problem after peace. But faith introduces the person. He who is peace takes up residence within us. Paul also wrote a letter to the believers who had gathered at Philippi. The letter is called the Philippians. And again, it's moved in my Bible. Okay, in Philippians 4, this is what Paul wrote. And we get some clues in here as to how we can really step into a life of peace. In Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, you know this. I know you know this. Let me just remind you. This is what he says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, it is not always wise to immediately put a formula of our outworking of our faith from one letter, but I want to show you three key words which are a bit like a formula, which I think will help you in discovering a deeper level of peace. And this is simply this. The three words are request, remember, and receive. Paul said, Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It is right. It is good. It is wise to go to Jesus in your boat, as it were, to go to him and say, this is my need. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what's on my heart. It is good to give him your requests. It is good to talk to him. If you're a parent, you know you love it when your kids talk to you. Maybe when they're little, you want them to stop at points. But trust me, when they get older, you love it when they talk to you. But it's important. It deepens the relationship. So request, it's a good thing. Request, request, request. But then, if we get stuck in request, and we're just saying, give me, give me, give me, and we're just going there, we get stuck in our problems. We get me-centric. We go inward, and we literally draw in on ourselves. So Paul said, as the second part of this, remember, it said, thank God for what he's done. This is as much for us as it is for God. To remember what he has done is declaring who he is. It is declaring the promises that he has fulfilled. It might be something that you could declare about your life that he's done. And the older we get, the more opportunities we have for testimony. Right? This is just how it goes. This is the beautiful gift of old age, that you get more and more stories. So you can remember things from your past, but you can also, because we're a body and we're in community, remember things from other people's past. Because God was faithful to you, I'm going to be confident that he'll be faithful to me. Because he did this in your life, he can do it in your life. And we can encourage one another. It's the power of testimony. So requests are good, but we don't stop there. Remember what he has done and who he is, that's good, but we don't stop there. Because Paul went on to say that then you will experience God's peace. You'll receive God's peace. Now, friends, we have to receive. We have to receive. If we just are like this, help me, help me, help me, help me. He's saying, look up. I'm here. I'm in the boat. Talk to me. And we're just at the white knuckle right at the front of the boat going, ah! And he's going, I'm back here. Talk to me. We have to receive him. You see, troubles will come uninvited to us all at times. Peace never does. Troubles will come uninvited. Peace never does. Peace waits for the invitation. Jesus waits for the invitation. We receive on invitation. He longs to come. He's not holding back on us, but he's waiting for that permission. So request, remember, receive. Our focus will shape our followership. What we look at will shape the direction we go in. Remember the boat. The disciples at the front. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat. We went on a boat on holiday in Croatia. It was a speedboat thingy. It went really fast. We were sitting at the back. And you had to really, really hold on. And it was really, really bumpy. Like, sometimes we had contact with the water. Sometimes we decided to fly. And then we would land with a great thud. And then we would fly again. And it was lots of fun and lots of laughter, but you had to hold on. And the way to kind of manage your stomach feelings was to look in the direction you were going. So if the disciples were managing the way that their stomach was going, they were just looking into the storm. And Jesus is saying, look into my face. Look into my eyes. See this storm through my eyes. See the storm through my love. Come to me. Nehemiah is a man from the Old Testament. He was kind of given a burden by the Lord to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he gathered people to come and help him rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It's an incredible story. And right in the middle, in one of the sort of jam-packed chapters, which is chapter 4, loads goes on in chapter 4, all the enemies are giving them a really, really hard time. And Nehemiah gathers everyone together who's building the wall, and he says these words, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. But remember the Lord, who is great and glorious." My friend, we are going to have storms. We are going to have trials. And so often we start praying for Jesus to kind of take away our need for peace. As in, take away this storm, take away this storm, I don't want this storm. And all he's saying every time is, but find me in the storm. Find me in the storm. Let me, as Prince of Peace, be in your storm. This week, we've had an interesting week in the Roberts household. And I guess it started on Sunday. Tim and I had a great time. We were talking about things to come, and we had a late night, and we were just going to bed, and Tim was getting ready for bed, and he heard this weird noise outside the house, and within kind of minutes, realized our bikes were being nicked. And then we had two bikes outside the house. They were kind of bolted to the wall, and like all the safety things were on before you could tell us off. But, you know, anyway, the bikes were gone. And so we were a bit disappointed by this, you know, obviously. And thankful to this beautiful family, we've already been given a spare bike from someone, which is beautiful. But anyway, we were in this point. Anyway, on Monday, we were driving to school and work. I go to work, the kids go to school. And we always pray in our car. I don't know if you do this. It's a great thing for families. Anytime any of us get in the car to go on any journey, we'll just pray about the day ahead. So every morning before school, we pray. And I found myself praying, in fairness, what I'd put on social media, I found myself praying for the guys or girls who would end up riding the bikes. I'm assuming the people who nicked them won't be the people who then enjoy them. So I was praying for the people who would end up on the bikes, praying that they would be safe, praying that they wouldn't come into any harm, praying that they would enjoy the bikes, because they were the boys' bikes, as in Tim and David's bikes, and they'd enjoyed them. So I prayed that the next people would really enjoy them. Then I prayed that, oh, maybe, gosh, wouldn't it be funny if my prayer was answered? Because my next prayer was that they would come to church. Are you here? Are you here? So I then prayed that they would come to church and that they would, so if you're here, see me later, we don't want the bikes back, all is fine, you're forgiven. You know, just finding, like, Jesus, could you reveal yourself to them? And would you show us, Lord, yourself in this storm? And you know, where Jesus showed himself to us was the fact that somebody offered us their free bike that they didn't need. And we were able to say, okay, as a family, it's like, and the boys can share a bike, that's fine, you know. It'll be interesting if they go out at the same time, but it'll be fun to watch. I'm there to watch. And you know, in that storm, then the very next day, our car broke down. Again, we are blessed with two cars, but the car broke down. So I had to take Tim's car, because mine was in the garage. And so I'm starting the car to try and go get Tim from the garage, and it didn't work. Now, forgive me for this question, but I did have to ring him and say, does this car start differently to mine? Because it is diesel. And you do have to kind of turn it a bit before you turn it all the way. So I thought, maybe I've ruined it. Like, maybe I've done something stupid in my rush because it's not as nice as my car. So I'm ringing him saying, have I done anything wrong? No, that's exactly how you start it. Why? I said, oh, good, it won't work. And so we were there in this place. And later on, Tim was going, oh, I need to go to so-and-so. It's fine, I'll take my bike. Can you give me a lift? And in these moments of mild storms, and these are mild compared to the majority of storms, right? Like, we can laugh about these, they're fine. And gosh, what a Western world problem to have. Oh, our second car's broken down. But in this storm, we have a choice. It either becomes a thing that we get angry about and is a nightmare, and the world is horrible to me, and how fair and how unfair, and how could God turn away, and why is he not guarding our bikes? And, you know, and woe me, woe me. Or we can say, okay, God, where are you in this storm? Because I don't want those thieves to steal my peace, even if they steal my bike. And I don't want my faith to go flat, even if our car battery goes flat. Because I want to get to know Jesus more and more. And every single opportunity in our lives, the good ones and the bad ones, we can get to know Jesus. And as you won't want to know this, but it's the worst seasons where we get to know him the most. I'm really sorry, but it is the worst seasons. It's when it's hard and we're scared that we remember to stop just enjoying the view of the boat ride bouncing in the sun, going, oh my gosh, this is so fun, look at me. We go, I need Jesus. Yeah. And it's not a trick. It's not deceit. He just loves it when we talk to him. He loves to reveal that this is a storm, but there are better days ahead. More storms, but better days ahead. And in the middle of the storm, it is possible to discover Jesus and to discover peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that doesn't make sense. We were having a conversation about the bikes, and Tim was going, oh yeah, Helen's in a much better place than me. She's even prayed for them. And the person that we were chatting to said, well, it wasn't her bike. True. True. But it is my family's. And it is coming out of the same bank account, and I do have to now drive them all around everywhere. But I'm not letting them steal my peace. And I do believe that we can get to know Jesus more and more and more in the irritating places, in the annoying places, and in the great places. And the invitation to us as a church is, will you get to know Jesus more? Do you want to? Because the more and more we get to know Jesus, the more and more peace we experience, and it can surpass our understanding. It doesn't make sense. So the world can be panicking about Brexit, but we don't need to, because we know the Lord and we can have peace no matter which side you voted. It doesn't matter what's going on in health situations or employment situations. Jesus cares. He wants to know. He wants to talk about it. But he will be present with you in the good times and the bad times. And he will reveal himself as the Prince of Peace. So will you find him in your boat? And know that he loves you. That he's listening to you. That he's glad you're talking to him. And he is ready to give you his presence more and more, to be with you himself more and more, not as handouts, but as a live-in experience to know him more. So where you are, just close your eyes and just begin to talk to Jesus. The band are going to lead us and we're going to have some sung worship, and it's going to help us connect and allow the Holy Spirit to move amongst us in a free, liberating way. But where you are, before there's a kind of led words, is it like, bring your own words. Bring your own requests. Talk to him about what is burdening you, what is troubling you, what is on your mind and heart, for yourself, for other people, whatever is burdening you. Begin to bring your requests. Then as you do, begin to remember who he is and what he's done. Remember what he did for you 10 years ago. Remember what he did for you last week. Remember what he said to you, the promises that he has already fulfilled. Begin to remember, stir your faith, talk to your own spirit, as it were. Remind yourself of his goodness, of his glory, of his kindness, of his grace, of his faithfulness. And as you request, and as you remember, you grow in understanding who he is. And as you do it, receive. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive Jesus. Receive him again and again and again. Deeper and deeper and more receive him and know his peace.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer, or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.